May my speaking and all our responding be in the name of God. Amen. Amen. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. How beautiful the season of autumn has been. For our first autumn in Switzerland, we've been so impressed by the amazing colours and how long they've lasted because of the mild climate. I gather it's not quite so normally, but we have been so delighted, as I'm sure all of you have. But the winds and the rain have come, and with most of the trees now bare, we find ourselves heading for winter with its dark mornings and early nights, the cold and the damp, and even I have decided to put a jacket on. I gather you can tell are English people in Switzerland because they don't wear so many clothes as Swiss people do. Now, all this can feel even more gloomy, especially for us who seek to lead Christian lives, as these last two Sundays have also been liturgically dark, with All Souls a fortnight ago was remembered all our departed loved ones, and Remembrance last Sunday when we fell silent just about on the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, and pondered together whether those who gave their lives for our freedom today would feel that we have actually honoured their sacrifice sufficiently by the way we lead our lives. And the church's lectionary isn't much help either, is it, at this time of year? This morning's gospel being a prime example. St. Mark recording Jesus as warning, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be all manner of turmoil in people's families. Words echoed by Luke and Matthew in their gospels as well. And Jesus links these signs with his prophecy about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, God's earthly home, according to Jewish teaching. And this did in fact come true. The temple was destroyed in the year AD 70, when the Romans demolished the building and indeed left not one stone upon another. And remember, it was after the temple's destruction that the gospel writers were setting their gospels into writing. But still the end of the world hadn't come. So what was Jesus teaching? Have the disciples and those who reported about them once again misunderstood what he was saying? And is it of relevance, therefore, to us today? Because clearly the world hasn't come to an end, nor has it ended in spite of 2,000 years of wrong, and in spite of many predictions to the contrary from the many doom and gloom merchants over the centuries. So let's briefly look again at what Jesus is saying in all three gospel versions. He is warning the disciples that a great many horrible things are going to happen before the end of the world. But instead of answering the disciples' natural questions about when and how will this happen, he simply advises them to remain prepared. All around them, the world will be full of people with huge emotions, anger, terror, hatred, fear. But the disciples must not be carried away by all this. They are simply to take it all as an opportunity for mission. Even when things get personally and they themselves are under attack, they are to keep their hearts fixed on the one main purpose, which is to testify faithfully and to trust in Jesus, both for the immediate words they are to use and for their ultimate salvation. And Jesus is asking them to do no more than he is doing. As his earthly ministry is reaching a climax, surrounded himself by increasing hostility from those in authority, with tension visibly mounting, as he sets his path towards Jerusalem and all that that would accomplish. But the needs of the people around him are still there, and those who come to him in faith are still there. And so he continues to teach, to care, to heal, and to respond to those who come to him in faith. Jesus is unchanging, despite what he is having to face. Not unmoved, though, because at least on one occasion his eyes are filled with tears at the blindness of Jerusalem, and all that that would befall it. But the message of forgiveness and new starts, of God's kingdom and of his loving purposes, these still need to be preached, he felt. And Jesus did this even hanging on the cross, you remember. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And to the penitent thief on the cross alongside him, today you will be with me in paradise. And this faithfulness, this constancy, this continuation of ministry right until the last possible moment has echoes hundreds of years before Christ in the message of the prophets. Malachi, for example, says, simply get on with praying, worshipping, working, and testifying, however boring or even irrelevant it may seem, because marvellous and extraordinary things can happen. And Daniel was encouraging his listeners to keep going, to maintain faith in God. Because as we come closer to God, the prophets are saying that the presence of God will be like the shining sun, bringing warmth and light, healing and life. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews, that we part of which we heard as our epistle, teaches that sacrifices are no longer needed as a way of reaching God, because Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. And as a result, we can have direct access to God. Don't need to go through priests. Don't need to go, indeed, through temple buildings. We have direct access to God because of Jesus. And it is because of that we can call, remarkably, God our Father. So, dark days, literally, metaphorically, and liturgically, then and now. But the message of this morning's gospel is not dark, but one of constancy and hope, not doom and gloom. For Christ, the bright morning sun, whose birth we will shortly be celebrating, will shine with hope and life and peace. And remember, glimpses of that hope, glimpses of his kingdom, are all around us, as I tried to encourage you to think about last Sunday morning. There are so many signs of God's kingdom all around. We are already experiencing them in so many ways. And if you need a reminder, that sermon is still on the website, as is also the revised web page for those 7 steps towards reconciliation. So we give thanks for constancy and for hope. We give thanks that we can encourage one another as we come together in worship and to break bread together. And for that fact and for that hope, thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.